Well, I love this time of year. Everyone, I think, loves Christmas. I love all these snowflakes. If we can't have the real thing, at least we've got it up here in the ceiling, right? And I love the week in particular between Christmas and New Year's because it slows down. All of life tends to slow down between Christmas and New Year's. And the teachers don't teach and the students are home, family's home. And I like to... in this quieter, slower time, do some reflecting. And so we're going to do that corporately. We're going to take a little bit of time and we're going to do some reflection. And the way we're going to do that, you know, on YouTube, on the web, there's all kinds of lists. There's the most memorable lists in sports and in music and in theater. And you just keep going and on and on. And what we want to do is we want to look at this past year and look forward through God's eyes and through his lens and get his perspective, not just everyone else's, okay? And so we're gonna look at this together and we're gonna use as our outline, as our framework for what is God's perspective about this past year and what is God's perspective about today and the future. We're going to use Romans chapter 8 as our template and our outline, okay? So let's turn to Romans chapter 8. If you have your electronic devices and you can pull up the Message paraphrase, that's the version I'm going to use. I know it's not a true translation. It is a paraphrase. I think Eugene Peterson is masterful in his use of language, and it gives us some new eyes to see things. So we're going to use the Message paraphrase today to do this together. So you can just listen along, or you can follow along if you have that with you. Verse 1, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. And the fateful dilemma he's talking about is this whole battle with sin. And Romans chapter 6 and 7 map this whole progression of the fact that we're no longer slaves to sin. We are now instruments. We're servants to righteousness. We've been made clean by the blood of Jesus. And so now sin is no longer our master. But he's saying, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma with sin is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. That is such good news already. We do not live life under a toxic, black, polluted cloud anymore. Amen. A new power is in operation, the Spirit of life in Christ. Like a strong wind has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Whoa, that's good news. We are no longer under the tyranny of sin and death. We've been freed from that. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered this disordered mess of struggling humanity. That's such a good description of today. In order to set it right once and for all, the law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. Jesus came and he heals at the deepest level our sin. He doesn't gloss over it. He doesn't band-aid it. All the way, church, all the way, he heals it. And now what the law code asked for but we could never deliver is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, we simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. That is, as we look forward to the future and we think about the new year, many of us are already getting ourselves ready to make something happen that we didn't quite accomplish this year. New Year's are full of resolutions, and next year I'm going to try harder and I'm going to succeed. And it says here that instead of doing that, we simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in our lives and we receive this freedom from sin and death that Jesus has secured. We could never do it. The law could never do it. We could never try hard enough to do it. Jesus has done it. Amen. those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. That's such a beautiful sentence. That's so descriptive of me and many Christians. We get our muscles looking good spiritually, but we never really exercise our faith. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us into the open, into a spacious and free life. This is such good news. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. That's obvious, but we need to be reminded of it. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about themselves than God. That person ignores who God is and what God is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. Tweet that right now. God is not pleased with being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. When we accept Jesus as Lord, Master, and Savior of our life, we no longer live life on our own terms, limited to our own efforts. We now experience life on God's terms with his living Spirit at work in us. Verse 11, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life with his Spirit living in you. Your body will be as alive as Christ is. Don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life 1 cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. That is tweetable too. This is some good stuff. So let's quit trying to throw a memorial or a burial. Let's just bury our old life, just like we see when we baptize people here. It goes all the way under. It's drowned. It's dead. And come and live your new life. And let's live our new life. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial. Go on with living new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life that you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are. He is Father, and we are his children. And we know we are going to get what is coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. Let our lives be changed by the power and the truth of your living word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. When we look at reflecting for the year, we want to acknowledge that life is full of both, right? There's wonderful things and there's really tragic and difficult things. And so as we reflect, I want to give you this little outline. Here's a 3-point thing. And I encourage you, we're going to do a little bit of this together today, but tomorrow is a national holiday. I'm sorry for anyone who has to work tomorrow. Those of us who aren't working tomorrow, take what we're about to do together and do some more of this on your own, okay? All right, so here's a little 3-bullet outline. As we reflect, let's take time to look back on yesterday, our yesterdays. Let's understand, let's honor and release yesterday. When we look backwards, at times, we have the capacity to get some understanding on things that made no sense when we were in the middle of it and just holding on for dear life. Isn't that true? Perspective oftentimes comes after all of that has happened, and you can look back and say, oh, that's what you were doing, God. And sometimes we never get that aha moment. Sometimes we never understand God because he says his ways are higher than our ways, and he is God and we are not. So we don't ever really have to understand him. He's a tiny God if we understand him all the time. Okay, so we can, in our reflecting, get some wisdom, get some understanding. We can honor the good things that have happened, and we're going to do that here in a moment. We're going to rehearse some of the highlights of 2017. And we can release things. There are things that happen in our life that are painful, and we just need to forgive them and leave them behind and not take them forward anymore. Not one more day should we be taking some of the things that we're still carrying. And when we take some time to reflect, it's a moment where we can acknowledge that. All right, second thing, we look backwards in those ways that we can embrace today God's word, God's presence, God's grace in our lives. That is a daily thing. We breathe every day. We need God's word and his grace every day. We should start every day the way that Eugene Peterson says here in this text in verse 15, that we would welcome every day with an adventurous, what are we going to do today, Dad? Wouldn't that be a great way to live life? Every morning, you have his word in front of you, and you say, what are we doing today, Dad? Wow. So we need God's word daily. We need his grace. We rely on it. So we take some moment. We take some time, look backward, release, honor, understand. We live in the grace that God gives us today by his word. And then we can do some dreaming and looking forward. And this is something I love to do. Some of our temperaments don't lend ourselves to this, but there's some dreamers and goal setters in this. I just say, go for it. I think God loves to dream and look at the potential of the future with every one of us. So spend time doing that. Okay? Now, let's real quick look at a few highlights from 2017. Well, let's start with lowlights. This year has been really tragic all around the world. Some of us are more in tune with things close by. We had an awful moment in the history of Virginia back in August in the Charlottesville demonstration that it was full of hatred and violence and death. That was a low light for this community, for sure. There was shootings, most notably in Texas and in Vegas. And there were many others that didn't have as many deaths and injuries, and so they didn't get our attention as much. Around the world, there were hundreds of people who died in multiple countries, Congo, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, India, Nepal, from flooding and mudslides and landslides. And there were the crazy fires out in California. This year has had plenty of tragic events, right? And as we were looking at this passage of scripture here, as we go through what Christ went through, we go through the hard times with him, we can certainly look forward to going through the good times with him. It's both. There's bad things that have been going on, and there are wonderful things we can honor and thank the Lord for. So let's participate a little bit. What are some of the good things that God has done in our midst as a church in this past year? In addition to the 8,000 plus snowflakes, what's God been doing? We've had 30 or more babies born this year, and we got 12 hours left if anybody's, okay? What else? We've had people come to faith in Christ this year too, not just biological new birth, but we've had spiritual new birth this year, and a bunch of people were baptized at different times this year. What else? We're part of a new network called One Focus, and we have all these wonderful new relationships with prophetic gifting and apostolic oversight, and so we're part of 28 plus churches now. Okay, that's great. What else? Alpha. We had two wonderful Alpha classes, and we had some amazing mission trips this year. Everybody who goes on a mission trip is sure that theirs is the best of all time.
Of course.
That's why you keep going on them, because they are amazing. I've been to India 3 times. This most recent trip was the most amazing of all the trips I've been to India so far. Mike and Joey and Luke are going to laugh so hard their stomach hurts. It is going to be challenging, but Rufus is aghast. The guy just laughs all the time. There's so much joy in him and his ministry. Okay, what else? Wonderful mission trips. Renew was the best Renew of all time, wasn't it? I have some alum in the room who are like, I don't know if it's better than our year. Yeah, it was. It was. Okay, what else?
Offering.
We just had the best year financially that the church has ever had in terms of your generous giving. Yeah, and I'm a numbers guy, and so I built a pie chart to show you what we do with the money. What a wonderful segue. So as you see on the screen, it shows that over $1 million has come into this church this year. Over the last 10 years, our average is that for every dollar that comes in, we send a third of it back out into local outreach, missions, and international ministries. Yay, God. So some of you, we haven't done over 1,000 every one of those 10 years, but if you do the math, that is like over 330,000 this year went out into missions and local outreach. And that means over 10 years, millions, over 3 million. Happy dance. Yeah, okay. All right. We've actually had, we had for the first Christmas Eve that we've had in the life of the church, we had over 1,000 people who worshiped for Christmas Eve last week. God's doing things in our midst. It's wonderful. All right. So what else? Here's. I'll stop with this one. This isn't exhaustive. Well, we had some wonderful series. Our summer series on Galatians was awesome. This fall, we did one on belong and sharing, and the adore one was wonderful. And the, one of my favorites is we have this relationship with this church in Portimont, Chile, that has developed because of dental outreaches that have gone over the last few years. And so this year, we traded staff with them. We brought two of their leadership team up here who lived with us for 8 weeks, and we sent one of ours down to strengthen and encourage them and learn from them. So Jose went down for 4 weeks. Danilo and Elena came up for 8 weeks. Danilo and Elena took some initiative, and because of their gifting and their anointing and their idea, we started those stories of hope that are out there on the web. Those stories of hope are amazing. Thousands and thousands of people in this community and beyond are viewing them and being impacted by the goodness and the power and the love and transformation of God. If you haven't seen one of those, you need to go to our website and click down and find it, okay? It's on social media too. So those have been some highlights. All really good stuff going on. Here's where we're going. Real quick snapshot. Over the last few years, we did a process which I call prophetic, prayerful, strategic planning, PPSP. It's quite a catchy thing. You'll remember this forever. So we did this strategic planning that was bathed in prayer and prophetic input, and we strengthened our communications as a church over the last few years. We strengthened the technology foundation so we can do things with the server, with computers, with audio, video. It's great. It's great infrastructure. You're sleeping as I talk about it, but it's wonderful for those of us who use it. And so those three things have been strengthened, and it's strengthened our ability to pursue the mission to love big, grow deep, and go out to our community, and it has released us to be more fruitful in seeing thousands of people saved and healed. And now our focus in the next year is going to be on these four things on the screen. We're going to increase the anointing and the excellence of our worship services. We're going to work on that. We're going to develop mentoring and discipleship that's available throughout the whole church. We have Sue going to champion that. We're going to increase our effectiveness in evangelism, reaching people where their needs are and sharing the love of Christ with them so that even more people come to faith than we saw this year. And then we're going to plant churches. And this is the one, I'm excited about all of them, but I'm particularly passionate about this one. Grace Covenant Church was planted by an anointed church planter, and it was planted to plant churches. And we did that. Dick planted numerous churches, and then we went dormant for a while. And I just want you to know, we're pregnant. We're going to plant churches in either 018 or 19. This isn't a great metaphor because, like, if it goes beyond 9 months, don't be alarmed because it'll still be okay. either late fall next year or early in 2019, we're going to plant a church. And we got exciting things to share about that. The Spanish-speaking church that's meeting right now upstairs, they already have started a small group in the Waynesboro area that has grown from 5 people for the first time it met to over 20 people. They no longer fit in a home, and they're looking for another location. And that, very soon, we believe, is going to be a church. And so our Spanish speakers are going to plant a church ahead of us, with us. God is doing really good things, and I'm very excited about it. Okay, so now, I told you we're going to do some reflection. Rather than me talking about all the great things I got out of doing it myself this past week, I want us to all take some time and do this. And before we do that, let me catch up on my notes. All right, you have a note card in front of you. Some are plain vanilla white. Some are really neon colors. Yeah, if you're in the front row, reach behind you. Your neighbor will share with you. So I want everyone to get a note card, and there's writing instruments in your chairs as well, or you can use your own favorite pen that you brought with you. And I just want you to take a few moments and think about these questions that are on the screen right now. I'll give you some more in a moment, but I just want to encourage you to pause and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And so here are some questions to give you a little structure. I'll flash another slide up with some additional questions. Some of you, all you need to do is for me to be quiet and you'll start writing because the Lord's already been speaking to you. And so let me just, Philip, why don't you start that? Let's just, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and this place and this space. I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts about the things that you want us to know. A lot has happened in the last year, Lord. Good things, tough things. You have a lot ahead of us. And right now, we just want you to be the lens that we see things through. So speak, I pray, in Jesus' name. Here are some other questions. These are aids. These aren't, you have to answer every question or you're not allowed to leave church today. It's not that way at all. Just as the Lord prompts. Okay, as some of you continue to write, I just want to continue reading through this Romans 8 passage. So keep listening to the Holy Spirit. Write what He prompts you. Listen as I read this next section in Romans 8. If we go through hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the good coming times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. Those sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. This is a really different perspective on waiting, church. I'm not a patient person, and I get impatient, but the Holy Spirit is saying that the passage of time is and these difficult things that we face are just bringing us to a climax when Jesus comes again. And it's going to be more glorious and more wonderful than the first coming that we just celebrated, right? It's birth pangs. It's something about to be released that's going to be more glorious than ever before. Totally different perspective we can get on what it is that we're waiting for and what it is to wait. Verse 26, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. He knows us better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. The Creator of the universe, the one who breathes life into you and me, is praying for us at the right hand of God. And when we don't know what to do, and when we don't know how to pray, it says He prays through us and for us. It's really good news, church. He's working everything for the good and for His purposes, it says here. Worship team, why don't you come up? We're gonna close out this final 10 verses or so of Romans 8 here in a moment. One of the things that I didn't manage to get done in first service, we as a generation that's living right now have more resources and more information at our fingertips than any generation who's ever lived in the world before. And while we have the most resources and the most information, I can't say that we are living the most abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10. Some are, but not pervasively are we doing that. So we have more information, more resources, but we're falling short of what God promised through Jesus Christ and through what He's talking about right here. And so what I just want you to know is we don't lack information, and so what we don't need more information, church. What we need is more truth. And what we need is more relationship with Jesus. And what we need is more Holy Spirit filling our lives and reminding us of what's true from His Word. So I had this picture of this morning. I had this amazing word picture because one of our generous children gave me a Christmas gift. And it tracks everything. I'm not making a commercial for this, but I just want you to know that so far since Christmas Day, I've walked over 50,000 steps, and that's over 23 miles. And I've burned over 17,000 calories. That's a lot of information I've never had before. Since Christmas Day, not just today. So in the last 6 days, over 50,000 steps, over 23 miles, over 17,000 calories. What that information tells me is I can go crazy at the Shank family gathering today and eat every cookie I want to eat. In fact, I can dip into next week and have Stride's donuts for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Because I've got information telling me that I am burning calories and I'm walking miles and stepping steps. See, I have information, but I don't have wisdom. Right? We all have a lot of information. And if we don't have enough information, we can go get some more on the internet that will feed us a whole bunch of other things that aren't necessarily true. So I want to make an encouragement. I bought some Read Through the Bible in 1 year Bibles. On behalf of Grace Covenant Church, I bought them. I didn't really buy them. Be totally honest. Okay. So when the service is over, if any of you want to get more of God's truth in your heart, see what happens is we daily put God's word in our lives, and then the Holy Spirit through the course of the day will say, this is why I spoke this to you in my word, and this is what you need to understand this situation. Or maybe it's not till 5 years later that you use what you ate this morning in God's word. But if you will read God's word every day, embrace his truth, then he will use it to transform your life and make you look like Jesus. We don't need another social media app. We don't need another friend to like what we just posted. We don't need to spend our time looking at information about how many calories I just burned talking to you. We don't need all of that information. What we need is more of Jesus, more of the Holy Spirit, more of his word and truth. So let's eat. Let's give ourselves more of God in 2018, church. All right, I want to finish reading this inspiring passage. As we look at the year that just finished, and we look at today, and we look at next year through the eyes of Romans 8, here's how it concludes. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The Son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. If you want to know what God's up to in your life, look at Jesus, and what he shows you is what your life is becoming. Not that you would be a God, but that you would look like him and draw people to God, and you would walk with him and fulfill the destiny he created you for. After God made that decision of what his children would be like, he followed it up by calling each one by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he began. Here's good news. What God has started in every one of your lives, he will finish. For his glory. You might be frustrated. You might be discouraged. You might be wondering what in the world is going on in my life. And you might be thinking, I can't wait to mark the end of this year. I want you to know that nothing has been wasted. Everything is for good in your life. Everything has been done for you to look like and be like Jesus. God doesn't waste anything in our lives. He does everything. He finishes everything he starts. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, being our advocate and being our intercessor right now. He's praying for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. None of us, verse 38, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, nothing angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced each one of us. Stand up. The only thing we can do in response to that truth is worship Him some more. And so we're going to close this year declaring our love for Him and our worship of Him. Let's go for it, worship Him.